Inside the Huddle with Sky Sports, Neil Reynolds and Jeff Rimebo.
Hello and welcome to Inside the Huddle. It's finally game week in the NFL and the new season is almost here. Today's show will feature Jeff Reinbold, the Around the NFL podcast heroes, and Richard Graves. But first, I'm very pleased to offer a warm welcome back to the UK to former Cincinnati Bengals defensive back and Emmy Award-winning broadcaster Solomon Wilcott. Solomon, we didn't put you off then. You came back for more of the same at Sky Sports.
No, you treated me so well the last time I decided to come back and hang out with you, Nick.
All right, let's get straight into some of the big news then around the NFL, because we're going to dig deeper on the Khalil Mack trade in part two. But I've got to get your reactions to surely one of the biggest trades in recent NFL history.
This is a guy that's been the NFL Defensive Player of the Year. He's been a multiple Pro Bowler. He's a dominant player. Mm. One of the positions that we think is most important on defense, and that is the ability to pressure the opposing quarterback. We always say pressure leads to picks. As a former defensive back, I loved players like Khalil Mack who could get to the quarterback and help us intercept balls on the back end. The Raiders struggled to get to the quarterback even last year. Outside of Khalil Mack, there was no one who could get to the quarterback. Yeah. And so I don't know why John Gruden felt like his team was going to be better for getting rid of Khalil Mack and maybe having someone else paying that blockbuster contract.
Yeah, they're kind of saying they can't pay the quarterback Derek Carr and Khalil Mack. I'm not buying it. All right, so the season starts on Thursday night. It's going to be a good one. It's the Atlanta Falcons taking on the defending Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles. Atlanta pushed them all the way in the playoffs last year, didn't they, at the link?
And Atlanta's a very good team. Remember, they have explosive playmakers like Julio Jones that seemingly no one in the NFL seems to be able to cover him. When he makes up his mind that he wants to change the game by making plays, with Matt Ryan throwing it and their ability to run the ball, I think they have a good blend of run pass. It's a hard offense to deal with. For me, it's about the Atlanta Falcons defense. Can they stop the Eagles on offense? And I love the fact that the Eagles are aggressive play callers. I expect them to do even more of that in 2018.
Both these teams really struggled on offense in the preseason.
Yeah.
Does it matter?
I'm more concerned about Nick Foles struggling in the preseason. I think from an offensive standpoint, it tends to come together very slowly. Mm. Not worried about the Atlanta Falcons at all. They're playing a lot of different people in the preseason, moving a lot of people around. But Nick Foles did not look good in the preseason. Yeah. Just his individual performance was alarming. And I think there's some concern behind the curtain in Philadelphia. He better play well in week one, or you know they're going to
They don't take losing very well, do they, in Philadelphia? A patient bunch. Are both these teams going to be there or thereabouts, do you think? Are we looking at two teams that are genuine contenders?
Oh, absolutely.
Feels like a wide open season.
Absolutely. Though. And the NFC, I think, is going to be hotly contested because, obviously, we'll have the usual suspects. We know the Rams are going to be there. I think Seattle is going to also be in the hunt. Mm. I think we can't sleep on the San Francisco 49ers with Jimmy Garoppolo. Yeah. I think he's going to make some noise there. And so, no, but I think the Falcons and the Eagles, this game is going to tell us something about them, but not everything that we need to know.
Yeah, it's not where you start.
That's right.
It's going to be where you finish.
Absolutely.
All right, let's get out to Philadelphia because our Richard Graves has been on site with the Super Bowl champions this week. And Gravesy, you would have encountered a rather moody Doug Peterson, the head coach of the Eagles, early in the week.
Well, it's interesting listening to you guys there in the studio talk about all perhaps not being well with the Philadelphia Eagles and perhaps there being some concern about Nick Foles. I've got to tell you, I was surprised. We got into town on Monday and it's the first thing that hit you. There's friction, certainly between the sports media, maybe not so much the fans who are still on a high from winning Super Bowl 52, but everybody's aware of it. Everybody's talking about it. Nick Foles, who are we going to see on Thursday night against the Atlanta Falcons? The Nick Foles that shocked everybody and ripped up the playoffs and the Super Bowl and took the MVP award there in Minneapolis. Or the bad Nick Foles, the one that plays sometimes under centre, has accuracy issues, perhaps holds onto the ball too long. And really, I think credence to those concerns was given in the preseason game against the Cleveland Browns. He threw two interceptions, he got sacked, he fumbled the ball away as well. And he is as acutely aware as anybody that it's an issue here, made more so by the fact that you've got Carson Wentz on the practice field. We were there yesterday. He was stood side by side with Nick Foles throwing balls. And then Doug Peterson came out to his media conference and declared that In his words, as of right now, Carson Wentz isn't medically cleared to play. It sounds a little bit like he might be a grey area and is hiding just a bit. Remember, Carson Wentz's stated aim was to play in week one. Well, that's not going to happen. It's going to be Nick Foles. And Nick Foles then took to the podium to try and patch things over. Have a listen to what he said.
Everyone's seen how hard he's worked. I've seen it, you know, up close and personal. I think that, you know, that's something I've always respected about him and always will is, you know, his work ethic. Whether it's, you know, when he starts and when he's playing, how he approaches the game, or, you know, coming back from an injury, you know, his rehab, being out there, going through everything, grinding through it. So I have all the respect in the world for him. We're all about this team and whatever this team needs. And I think that's what's important. You know, we have a foundation as friends, not just as coworkers, which is very important for that QB room. So, you know, we don't really need to, because whenever I'm playing, he's going to support me. Whenever he's playing, I'm going to be there to support him, and Nate's going to be there. If Nate's playing, we're going to support him, and, you know, vice versa.
Okay. I don't think that whoever plays, teammates will support them, but what is going to be interesting is if in that first quarter Nick Foles comes out and starts slowly, it'll be interesting to see how quickly the fans here inside Lincoln Financial Field start getting restless, start wanting a change. And it'll be interesting as well, let's be honest, see if between now and kickoff, suddenly Carson Wentz is medically cleared to play and suits up tomorrow night. All these questions are still to be answered.
Gravesy, they turn up restless. They don't get restless in Philadelphia. It was interesting with the... I mean, no bad blood between Nick Foles and Carson Wentz. I was out there in June. You certainly felt that there is harmony in the locker room, but... Solomon, I was interested that Doug Peterson almost seemed like he was under a little bit of pressure, because we didn't see that with him last year. Is this, heavy weighs the crown on the head?
Absolutely. There's no doubt when you are the team that dethroned the New England Patriots in the biggest game that the sport can offer, that we call the Super Bowl. And now the fans in Philadelphia, it's a unique fan base. We call it the city of brotherly love, but they tend to show the opposite, even when they love you. And so he's feeling it. There's no doubt about it. There's going to be pressure to not just go out and compete to try to win it a second time, but you've got to be up in the bit. And they're going to meet some stiff competition within their own division from the Dallas Cowboys and the New York Giants and the Washington Redskins. So there's no doubt he's feeling it. And he needs a healthy quarterback just to get off to the right start.
Gravesy, I don't know what the reaction is out there or the analysis, but it doesn't feel like the defending Super Bowl champions are anywhere near a firm favourite playing at home to open the new season. Maybe they can still play that underdog card one more time.
Well, there's a couple of things to pick up on there. First of all, Doug Peterson, I found it really interesting when he came in for his final pre-game press call yesterday. He opened up by apologising to the media for the tone of his reaction to questions on Carson Wentz and his status. So that immediately had everybody on alert that perhaps things aren't all as they should be going into week one, when you're meant to be celebrating that what is, let's be honest, is the team's first world championship banner. And then moving on from that, you've not had Alshon Jeffrey. He's been out of pre-season with a shoulder injury, and he's only just come off the pup list. He won't feature tomorrow night. And you go all the way back to the NFC divisional playoff game here between the Eagles and the Falcons. And let's not forget, if the Falcons had taken the opportunities that Nick Foles served up in those first two quarters, they could have taken this game away. And then right at the death, Julio Jones, we've seen him make that sort of catch 100 times, and yet he wasn't able to make it, which would have been the go-ahead touchdown score, and it could have all been different. So everybody you speak to around here is still aware of that. They're still on a high, obviously, having won the world championship, but they're all aware of what could have happened and how different it could have been around here. And you throw all that into the melting pot and the questions over Wentz and his status as well, and that gives you the frictional, testy relationship that you've had at times in the build-up to this week one opener.
Now, one man who will be involved in that week one is Australian offensive tackle Jordan Mailata. An incredible story, a seventh-round draft pick for the Eagles this year. Had never played a down of American football. Solly, he was fitted for his helmet, and they said, "How does it feel?" And he said, "I don't know. I don't know how it's supposed to feel." And this is a kid who's 21 years old. What a specimen. 6'8", 346 pounds. And he makes the 53.
And you love it, too. I want to see more of these stories end successfully. Mm. Kids who play in the UK, who grew up with the dream of playing in the National Football League, like all the kids in America who grew up, it's a dream. Less than 1% of the kids who play Little League football go on to play in the National Football League. So it's a really difficult thing to achieve. Mm. The fact that he's come from here in the UK and was able to make a 53-man roster, that's a heck of an accomplishment. And there's still more work that needs to be done to go out and play and contribute on Sundays. It's a wonderful thing. But more kids are going to live out their dream by watching him. And it's going to, I think, fuel their dream to want to someday become a National Football League player.
Well, Richard, of course, a great story for the UK is F.A. Abada as well. He's going to be in our game on Sunday for the Carolina Panthers against the Dallas Cowboys. F.A. played 5 games of amateur football for the London Warriors. An incredible story again, Solomon. This guy could be a film. F.A. Abada, he was trafficked from Amsterdam to the UK as a child, wow, left homeless on the streets of London, played 5 games of amateur football, got signed by the Dallas Cowboys. Now he's made the 53-man roster of the Panthers as a defensive end. Gravesy, you've been following FA's story. I have right from the start. What a journey. It's a Cinderella story.
It absolutely is because, again, like Jordan, who you've just mentioned, neither of these guys had strapped on a helmet, let alone played a snap of football. And then F.A. Abada plays 5 games, gets picked up in what is a Hollywood story, really, by the Dallas Cowboys, the biggest franchise in world sports, not just American sports. And then he's bumped around a few teams on practice squads here, but then he makes the final cut this past weekend, and he's officially a Carolina Panther. He's been on social media, tweeting his thanks and appreciation to everyone. It's a game changer for him. Jordan Mailata, what a story that is. Joined the Canterbury Bulldogs, had a heart issue, had to go and have that sorted as a teenager, then goes on to South Sydney and ends up following a dream to come over here. And the Philadelphia Eagles, having seen his pro day before the draft, were that high on him, they traded 2 seventh-round picks to move up, I think it was 15 spots, with the New England Patriots and grab him. And then a month ago, if you asked anyone in this part of the world, they'd have said he was on the bubble. Perhaps the Eagles would try and get him onto the practice squad. But as preseason went on, he, as raw as he is, was one of the standout players. And it got to the point when the Eagles realised if they cut him out of their initial 53, he probably wouldn't be around to make the practice squad. He'd be picked up by one of the other 31 franchises. So lo and behold, here he is on the 53-man roster, and they're that pleased with his progress. They've said, look, if you don't play a single snap of competitive football for 2 years, we think you're going to make it. And from the NFL standpoint, this is exactly the scenario they want. Players from outside of America making their mark on the NFL and expanding the global appeal of the National Football League.
All right, good stuff, Gravesy. Enjoy opening night in Philadelphia. We'll catch up with you in our Sunday show. You're going to be at the Jags against the New York Giants. My thanks to Richard Graves there in Philadelphia. Solly, just wrapping up our first part of Inside the Huddle today, let's just talk about Le'Veon Bell. As we record this right now, on Wednesday evening, it's the first day of practice. Wednesday's the first practice day for the teams. Yeah. He's still not in. Is this getting serious now for this team?
It has to be because in order to play football, you have to practice football. It's a physical game. He can't just show up a few days before the game and think that they're going to put him in there to play. Remember, he got off to a slow start, even though he did show up week one, but he got off to a very slow start. I could tell you this, though. The Pittsburgh Steelers feel really good about their ability to run the football because James Conner, I think, is going to be one of the more sensational breakout stories of the 2018 season. Phenomenal player, came out of the University of Pittsburgh where he played collegiately there in Pittsburgh. So the Steelers knew him well. Mm. This is a kid who's survived cancer.
Yes.
And has worked his way back into great shape.
They loved him in Pittsburgh, didn't they?
Oh, they loved him
in
Pittsburgh.
They sold all the jerseys
absolutely
last year. He was the number one selling jersey.
So he is going to be a star. Mm. He had a wonderful preseason. He's going to rip off some big runs. I'm going to be eager to watch him in week one.
And we get you in the studio on Sunday night. Our first game, the Vikings and the 49ers. Two quarterbacks who, for a while, were the highest paid players in the NFL.
That's
Jimmy
right.
Garoppolo against Kirk Cousins. Should be a cracker.
That should be a good one. I expect a big year out of Jimmy Garoppolo. I think in Kyle Shanahan's offense, he is going to put up huge numbers. Mm. I think a lot of people may be surprised by what he does, but considering what he did at the end of last year, coming in and winning every single game that he started for the 49ers last year, he garnered and won the big contract. I think he's going to be very successful in 2018. And then the Vikings, let's see what they can do. Mm-hmm. New quarterbacks after jettisoning Case Keenum and now to go with Kirk Cousins. It better work out for the Minnesota Vikings. I think it will.
All right. My thanks to Solomon. We'll see you on Sunday. We're going to take a quick break here on Sky Sports so Solly can tell us what it's really like to play in Philadelphia. We'll be back in a couple of minutes. See you then. Welcome back to Inside the Huddle. We will be back next Wednesday for another show. We're on 9 p.m. Sky Sports Action. I'll be joined by Rob Ryan and Solomon Wilcox. I'm sure we'll be reacting to week one in the NFL, and it's coming now. It's not long to go. Thursday night into Friday morning, the Atlanta Falcons at the defending champion Philadelphia Eagles on air, Sky Sports Action, 12:30 a.m. You can get involved as well and play NFL Challenge this year. Great fantasy game. Go to NFLChallenge@skysports.com. Okay, very pleased now to be joined by two gentlemen who are normally on the other end of a pretty shaky Skype connection. So great to have you here, Greg Rosenthal and Dan Hansus from the Around the NFL podcast. Not just analysts, heroes
also
in London.
And friends. We consider you a friend.
Thank you.
We're best friends.
It's a small table. We have to be. We can't be anything other than best friends. What's it been like being in London?
It's been amazing. Mm. Went to Parliament today. Like that, I felt, got me ready for like football action. Like if it's as rugged as what I saw, then it's going to be good on Thursday.
Yeah, yes. We had an amazing fan meetup and a live podcast yesterday in Shoreditch, and it was wild. And after party. That went deep into the night. So we feel a lot closer to this nation than we did even 48 hours
ago. Love the UK fans.
And I've been enjoying listening to you adapting to UK culture, learning about UK.
I think
UK.
I'm doing okay.
You were talking about playing snooker. Is snooker.
You know what? You say it that way. It's a tomato-tomato thing to me.
Do you know how many... let's have a little pop quiz. How many points the black ball is worth in snooker?
Ooh. Is that a trick? No, there is a black ball.
Yeah. You're hitting them where it
hurts
here.
It's 100 points. Three?
Really not. We're
just six.
Nope. Keep going. Seven.
Okay.
Ooh, seven. Okay. And Greg, you were with our Minister for Sport, Tracy Crouch, at the Houses of Parliament. She's a huge Green Bay Packers fan, and she was very excited to host you at Parliament. She asked me to test you, because you had a little tour, right? Ooh. Let me just give you a...
Yeah, we did. She said she was a big fan of our podcast, so I'm a big fan of her and just the government in general.
So who is the only person... Who is the only person who has a private toilet in the Houses of Parliament?
Oh, the Queen.
Nailed it.
I mean, come on. That was the most memorable part of the tour. That was great.
All right, good. Well, we'll talk some football, actually. Let's get Jeff Reinbold in as well. Jeff Reinbold, our regular Inside the Huddle, my regular partner. There he is, fresh from a game of darts by the look of it in the background. How are you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, guys?
Awesome. Great to see you.
It's nice to be on your home turf and you're on the Skype for once. How does it feel?
Oh, there you go. You guys are taking care of London really well, I hear.
We are. Jeff, you're the best all caps tweeter in the game, by the way.
You got to find your role. Everybody's got to embrace their role.
Exactly. You got to find your mark. Let's talk football then. Let's talk. Obviously, the huge deal was Khalil Mack being traded from the Oakland Raiders to the Chicago Bears. So big that we've already forgotten that Aaron Donald signed a 6-year, $135 million deal. First of all, initial thoughts, because I know... anything can happen in the NFL these days, and trades happen more often than they did in the past. But, Greg, your initial reaction to this?
That it's one of the safest trades possible for the Chicago Bears. And you're right, we never saw trades like this. I think the NFL is more interesting now because of it, because of the salary cap. You're basically picking up a Hall of Fame player in the middle of his prime and then putting him with a better coordinator than I think he's ever had and better players around him. So I think Khalil Mack in Chicago could be a better player than he was in Oakland.
I was kind of scratching my head when John Gruden was explaining that one of the reasons the Bears could do what the Raiders could not was that Trubisky, the young quarterback, is not under some super contract yet, whereas Derek Carr is. And he's acting as if there's no way you could pay two guys monster money. Well, that's what all great teams that have
good
players
do.
That's a part of life. So I'm not sure the angle on that.
Jeff, they always say that draft picks are like lottery tickets. So the Raiders now have... two new lottery tickets, two first-round draft picks, but they already had a winning ticket, didn't they? I mean, sell this one to me because, I mean, when we try and analyze who won and lost, everyone across the board seems to be saying the Raiders lost this trade.
All right, I'm going to give you six names of guys that lost in this trade. David Bakhtiari, Brian Bulaga, Mike Remmers, Riley Reiff, Taylor Decker, and Rick Wagner. Every tackle in the NFC North that's going to have to try and block this guy was a big loser on this trade.
Let's hear from Khalil Mack then, because he not only was traded to the Chicago Bears, he signed a contract which made him the highest paid defensive player in NFL history. 6 years, $141 million. Needless to say, he had a smile on his face.
It's been a whirlwind, and it happened fast, but I'm blessed and I'm thankful and I'm glad to be here, and I'm looking forward to it, man. I really can't wait. I'm itching. It's been a long time since I played football. I'm not a big talker. I like to go out and use my actions to speak. When I get out there and get on the field, you can probably sense what's going to happen. But I want to win. You know what I mean? Everybody wants to win. This team wants to win. And championships is definitely the goal.
Yes, Khalil Mack, 36 and a half sacks over the last three seasons. Greg, when we put him on that Chicago Bears team, they made some offensive improvements around Mitch Trubisky this offseason. Is this a team now we should be, if not overly excited about, at least be paying attention to?
I'm ready to be overly excited about them. Why not? Because we watched them with John Fox for the last few years and was one of the most boring teams in the league to watch. Now you put Khalil Mack next to Akeem Hicks, who's great, a secondary that can provide, you know, a longer time for Khalil Mack to get after the quarterback. And then on offense, it's going to be a fun show with Matt Nagy. I mean, they have a lot of offensive weapons around him. We don't know if Trubisky's going to really be the guy, but if nothing else, it's going to be up-tempo. They're going to be aggressive.
Jeff, if they can team Khalil Mack with Leonard Floyd, I know Floyd's been in and out this summer, and obviously he's got to get healthy. You have those two pass rushers off both edges, which is, of course, so vital.
Well, I want to amplify on what Greg said, and I thought it was a great, great point. Vic Fangio and the 3-4 is tailor-made for the skill set of Khalil Mack. Neil, you remember when I went to his pro day at the University of Buffalo and we talked, and I said, I've never seen a guy with a quicker first step. Joey Porter and I were standing there watching the kid work out. And my thought was, right now, if you put him in the 3-4 as an outside linebacker where you can move him around and he's not in a static position, which is how Kenny Norton tried to use him in Oakland, this kid is going to be, everybody around him is going to be better. And the things that Fangio will be able to do, because here's a guy who has the size to power rush a tackle, a back can't block him, and now you start moving him around where it's harder to find him. I just really think he's a 12-sack or more guy. And as Greg said, he's a future Hall of Famer. You don't get future Hall of Famers at the height of their career in a trade.
Dan, if Khalil Mack sacks Aaron Rodgers on Sunday Night Football, there's going to be dollar bills flying everywhere across Lambeau Field. It's just going to be like confetti.
And you'll actually be able to hear the wails of sadness coming from Oakland, because it should have never gotten to this place, but it's good for Chicago. And that's why they are our team of ATL. We choose every year. We decided at our live show on Tuesday night. They're just so fun to imagine their ceiling right now. And I think we're all in support of them becoming an exciting contender in the NFC.
Jeff, when we look at this trade, of course, Reggie McKenzie is the general manager of the Raiders, but John Gruden's getting $100 million over 10 years. This has his fingerprints on this deal. It has to have.
Well, I think that there's no question about it. It was a deal that eventually everybody had to sign off on, because I don't think John has that kind of power. I think Mr. Davis was involved in it. Obviously, Reggie was involved in it. You got to remember, this is Reggie's guy. Reggie drafted him. And, you know, going back to, I said, to his pro day at the University of Buffalo, Reggie McKenzie was the only general manager there that day. So obviously he is Reggie's guy. He must not be John Gruden's guy. And, you know, for Raider Nation, the tough one is, how are you going to sell this in your own locker room? Because the players know he's the best defensive player in that division. And, you know, you can say Von Miller, but I'm going to tell you something. Khalil Mack is a rare, rare, rare guy. And so how are you going to justify this in your locker room when you say you want to win, but yet you have a chance to pay a guy? And let me tell you something, guys. They all understand how it works. And you have a chance to pay a guy and keep him and make yourself a better football team, and you let him walk. I think it's a situation where John never really had any kind of interaction. I think they may have talked a couple times, but he had no relationship with Khalil. And Khalil Mack is not only a great player, he's a great locker room guy, Neil, as you know.
Yeah, that's the thing. He is a stand-up guy and one that you can rely on. He always talks about trying to get better. John Gruden said We're going to be second guest until the cows come home. You got that right. Absolutely, Coach. Greg, picking up on what Jeff said there, because Derek Carr was on Twitter very quickly after this deal and couldn't believe it had happened. Bruce Irvin said some stuff that we can't repeat on national TV. So it is going to be, how do you stand in front of your team to face the Rams on Monday Night Football and say, we're about winning right now?
I think his message is going to grow old quicker than he wants to, John Gruden, just like it did in Tampa. We talk about how he wants to have an old school kind of football approach in terms of bringing fullbacks and running backs, but I think he's going too old school with how he treats players. Like, this isn't the 90s or the early 2000s where I think you can intimidate these guys and try to send a message by somehow sending away your best player. Like, the other players, to me, are too smart for that.
Well, yes, surely you you end up saying to the players, you can be a stand-up guy, you can be an all-pro at two different positions, but you don't have a long-term future here. That doesn't send a good message.
Especially with the Raiders, they're moving to Vegas soon. I'm wondering how the locker room, of course, is going to react to this, especially if they get out to a slow start. How are the fans going to react?
I was going to ask you, the long, awkward goodbye has just got a little bit more
awkward. It was almost like it opened up a wound when the decision was made to leave Oakland, and now you throw salt on it by getting rid of your best defensive player. And I don't know how you sell that to your locker room, to your fan base, to anybody.
It's tough. It's like Dan's kind of the breakout star of the Around the NFL podcast. His contract is coming up soon. And it's like, if management doesn't pay him what he's worth, what kind of message is that
going to
send?
Will you hold out, or will you you just come to Inside the Huddle?
I mean, I'm joining the staff from Canada, and we fly away.
We'll trade.
Have a Gruden moment. We may have a Gruden moment, because you can't keep Rosenthal too, because he's a big contract guy. He can't hold two big contracts.
We can't afford to pay both of them. We'll take whoever's cheapest.
Greg will hold out too. He's very selfish.
Yeah, he's much more mercenary.
I'm cold-blooded.
Much more mercenary. Jeff, on the long awkward goodbye, the Raiders leave for Vegas officially in 2020. They could be there again next season in Oakland, but we still have to determine that. But I'm thinking back to last year when they started losing a few games. We had the nasty incident with Donald Penn and the fans in the car park. I mean, Raider Nation is loyal, but this could get ugly if they start slow out the gates.
I think so. I think this is a situation that's not, I don't know where the good's going to come of it. And obviously they are going to struggle out the gate. This is not a very talented roster. You know, you look, they've struggled at all through the preseason. And, you know, as you say, this is about winning. And it's not in the National Football League, in any kind of pro football, it's about winning. And if you're not winning, the fans are going to be on you. And now you're talking about a fan base that feels betrayed, not once, but twice.
Which other contenders were up for a nomination for the Around the NFL podcast? I mean, let's not just end on a negative of the Raiders. Let's talk about others who are so positive that they...
It was a little controversial because Chris Wessling, our colleague, we nominated the Falcons together.
We were on the same page.
And I love the story of the Falcons and how the Super Bowl's in Atlanta. That felt good. Mark Sessler, he nominated the Saints, which... didn't get a lot of support. And Wes nominated the Ravens. Like, who likes to watch the Ravens? I'm not sure. But, like, none of those, we couldn't come on the same page. But when the Mac trade happened...
it just felt like it's one of those teams that even if they don't win 12 games, they're going to be more fun to watch, and it'd be kind of fun to get in on the ground floor with them versus, I mean, I'm rooting for the Falcons because I want to see smart organizations rewarded, and it'd be great to see them get over the hump. But the Bears, you're kind of starting, you know, from scratch with Nagy.
And think of the positivity in the Bears locker room now that they found out that they're the team that ran the NFL.
That on top of everything else. That's a different approach to me, Jeff. I normally jump on the bandwagon once they start winning, don't I?
But you know what? The surprising one, I'd love to talk to Sean Gale about it. You know, the McCaskies are not known as people that spend an awful lot of money on players. And this is a bold, bold move by them. And I think if you're in Bear Nation, this signals really, really good things on the horizon with the Chicago Bears.
So we talked about NFL Challenge coming into this section. If you had one player, let's take a quarterback. Who were you going to pick if you were going to pick a quarterback in week one? Because there's so many. Look, our first game on Sky on Sunday, Jimmy Garoppolo and Kirk Cousins, Vikings and 49ers, much talked about guys. Would they tempt you? Or?
No, not really, because my guy Philip Rivers is out there, and he's playing the Kansas City Chiefs. I didn't see a defense or, like, a unit on the field in the preseason that was any worse than the Kansas City Chiefs. Right. They've had so much turnover. I think Philip Rivers is going to have a monster year. Like, one of the stories that I'm just rooting for, like, for him to go have a long run, kind of the one that Tony Romo didn't, I think it starts with a big week one.
How about, you know, just to get right into the season, everyone's excited about kickoff, get behind Matt Ryan playing. I know he's on the road, but coming off a strange season for him where he's productive, but the numbers and the scoring was off. I feel like that might course correct this year, and he has another big season, and it's going to start on the opening kickoff
That's
game.
Cool. Swore you were going to say Sam Darnold, but you didn't.
Not yet.
Not yet.
That's week two.
Jeff, for you, if you were picking one quarterback for NFL Challenge in week one?
You know what? Deshaun Watson, to me. I just, you look at what he did last year. That offense was scoring 30 points a game when Deshaun Watson was a quarterback. As soon as he got hurt, 13. So he's obviously very valuable to that Texans team, but I think he's a dynamic young player with both his feet and his arms.
All right, well, we look forward to Jeff, you stick with us for after the break. Greg and Dan, look forward to you joining us on Sunday on Sky Sports. Any special demand? Who's going to be the biggest diva, do you think?
Dan, for sure. I do want a walk-up song, though, like to get like us everyone fired up, you know, like a song that would be cool.
Well, that's what they do at the darts here in the UK. Yeah, they do.
I want one of those no eye contact provisions in the hallway.
Yeah.
If that's possible.
I've
don't
had
know
that for a number of
if
years
that's like
now.
A states thing or I don't know.
I've had it for a number of years, but everyone's quite happy to walk past me and not talk to me. I don't know what it is. So my thanks to Greg Rosenthal, Dan Hansus. We'll be back in a couple of minutes on Inside the Huddle. Yes, welcome back to Inside the Huddle. Cannot wait for Sunday, the first Sunday of the NFL season. We're on air 5 p.m. Sky Sports action. We've got San Francisco at Minnesota, Dallas at Carolina, and then the oldest rivalry in the NFL, the Chicago Bears at the Green Bay Packers. We'll be back on Monday Night Football, doubleheader for Monday Night Football, the New York Jets at Detroit. Sam Darnold makes his starting debut at quarterback for the Jets. And we finish off week one with the Los Angeles Rams at the Oakland Raiders. It's almost like Christmas. It's almost here. Not long to go now until the start of the 2018 NFL season. Jeff Reinbold's still with us. Might have to go to a meeting with his team, so he may leave us prematurely, but we'll see how we go. Joined by Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling from the Around the NFL podcast. Guys, are you enjoying London?
We're loving it, right?
Yes, it's great. I love every minute of it.
I'm a little concerned. I mentioned this on our live podcast last night. These double-decker buses that I'm not a good driver, and if I had to get in one of these and try to drive this thing, the way they take the left to right turn, right into a storefront, probably take out 30 or 40 people. So I'm going to continue to be a passenger.
Just a passenger.
Yes.
I mean, to be fair, Jeff, I've lived in and around London all my life. I've never driven a double-decker bus, and you're regularly here, and you don't drive them, do you?
I don't drive anything in London ever.
I like that. That's I'm on that wavelength.
That's the way to go. But great to have you on for week one as well, because normally you're on the other end of Skype. But really, how have you been touched by the British fans? How have they received you guys?
You know, we had our live show last night with about 100 or so fans, and seemed like every one of them, after the show, we met up, and every one of them seemed to say, "You don't know me, but we feel like we're friends." Mm. You know, everyone feels like because they listen to us so often, that they're part of our group and part of our crew. And just, you know, it was like having a show in front of 100 of your close friends. It can't possibly go poorly.
And it's going to be bigger than that on Saturday. We're going to be out at Piccadilly in the center of London. The NFL on kickoff on Piccadilly from 12 o'clock noon till 6 p.m. You guys are going to be out there and you're going to see it. It's going to be just a sea of jerseys. It's quite a
Everyone we talked to said they're going to that. And the one thing I'd say about the London fans, if people are back in America, you would just assume, oh, London fans are probably, you know, their knowledge will be different than ours. Mm. They don't know. But I could not disagree more. Mm. When you come here and the people we talk to, it's like if you've chosen to watch a sport that often begins at 1 in the morning, if it's a night game, or you're putting that commitment in, their passion is intense. Like I was blown away by how well they know the game, their questions, and what we talked about. So I see like a huge future here for them.
Jeff, you're smiling because we've heard that many times. Sometimes people have to come and experience the fan base because we've seen it for a number of years. Just, you know, it's only geography that stops these fans being the same as American fans.
It's amazing, and it's been that way and grown that way since we started, Neil. And, you know, you guys have an awful lot of stock in that, too, because you guys are such a popular podcast over in the UK and such a great addition to our Sky Sports broadcasting. And, you know, I think it's really cool for you to get over and see firsthand just how knowledgeable the fans are, as you said, Mark, and just how passionate they are. I mean, it's incredible that, you know, that they come out in droves no matter what it is that, you know, the NFL puts on. And certainly an opportunity to meet you guys is, you know, really a great opportunity for them.
Yeah. All right, so as we said earlier, the season starts with the Philadelphia Eagles, the defending champs, against the Atlanta Falcons. Last year, Philadelphia went from worst in their division to first. This is a regular trend. 14 of the last 15 seasons, a team has gone from last place the year before in their division to winning their division. So we thought we'd put you guys on the spot and see if who's going to continue that trend, because it happens regularly. So from last year, the teams that finished in last place, the Jets, the Houston Texans, Cleveland, Denver, the New York Giants, Tampa Bay, Chicago, and San Francisco. Give me one.
Well, the Browns fan in me wants to pick Cleveland, but I feel like...
I'll take your first answer.
Yeah, I think we might start to lose viewers if I had to go down that road. But I think the Texans, potentially, because... Mm-hmm. You have Deshaun Watson coming back, and there was a stretch of play last year where they almost took out the Patriots. They were an explosive offense. There was a couple games where they just ripped through teams, and the passing game and the way that everything, despite the line, Deshaun Watson just made it sing. And you have J.J. Watt coming back, finally paired with Jadeveon Clowney. To me, that it's a bit of a team that could also go 6-10 if everything went wrong, because their offensive line is a bit of an issue, right? But if things go right, in that division, I feel like they could take it with a 10 type of wins, 10-6 season. So,
Wes, for you don't have to pick different, by the way. If you believe the Texans, you can say the Texans. But
I think the Texans would be in my top two, but I also like the Broncos.
Okay,
that is a rebuilding division, with the exception of the Chargers, who are loaded. But we know they seem to be bitten by bad luck and sometimes poor defense and special teams too. But the Broncos haven't had back-to-back losing seasons since before I was born. It was the early 1970s.
Yeah.
And this rookie class that they have, it feels like they have invigorated that team. Bradley Chubb and Von Miller on defense. I feel like the defense is going to be a top-five unit again, going back to what they were. And then those rookies on offense, Royce Freeman and Cortland Sutton, you add them to the mix. And this feels like a team that can really surprise some people this year.
Yeah, Sutton had a very strong preseason at wide receiver. Jeff, it's hard to pick one to go from worst to first. So you've got the short straw. You're going third.
Well, I agree with all of the things that have been said. I think the Texans, obviously, having Deshaun back will make a jump. I don't know if they'll be able to get over the hump of the Jaguars in that division. And again, I think the Chiefs, while everybody questions their defense, I think that they still have so many weapons offensively. The team that I think improved themselves a great deal in the offseason, and they're in a division where they kind of cannibalize each other anyway, I think the Giants, Saquon Barkley, you know, they go out and they really shore up an offensive line. They get a running game, and they've got arguably the best receiver in football coming back happy and healthy. I think the Giants can make a run.
Eli Manning can look over to the sideline. He won't see Ben McAdoo. All's good in the Big Apple.
It's like every 5 years or so, Eli Manning rolls into the Super Bowl and takes out the Patriots. So we're due.
It's a cycle. Cycle of the NFL. There's some big names coming back this year as well. When we look across the league, I mean, it means we had a bad year last year for losing star players. But we'll see Andrew Luck for the first time since, what was it, New Year's Day 2017. So a long time. Andrew Luck, Ryan Tannehill, Carson Wentz, of course, when he gets healthy. David Johnson with Arizona. Who are you most looking forward to, Wes? Let's start with you. These big name stars, seeing them back on the field.
Well, let's start with the easy one, Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
You know, I think the league is just more fun when he's playing.
Yep.
It's hard to find an Aaron Rodgers game that isn't fun to watch.
Right.
He's guaranteed to give you a great ride that day. And the Packers are just they're almost unwatchable when he doesn't play. Mm. So they're a totally different team with him in there.
Mark?
I think for me it is luck, because the Colts were so unwatchable for me without him, in such a milquetoast operation. And he's the kind of guy where there's a lot of
milquetoast operation.
Yeah, I just
that's a Is that an American term? Help me out.
Highly dull, just highly dull. It's like trying to stay awake watching Game Pass on during the week of the Colts games. But now he's back, and it's like they always were a team with issues on both sides of the ball, even when he was in there. But he would tug them to like 11-5 record and in the playoffs. And it feels like they're one of those teams that might, because they had the same record as the Texans, that is sort of a last-to-first type candidate as well, with luck on the field. I think he's that kind of quarterback that makes everyone around him better, and he makes that division so much better.
Ryan Grigson almost ruined him, but he's going to fight back.
Yes, and Ryan Grigson is out the door.
He's gone.
So
don't worry
about
that.
That's
why. Jeff, who are you looking forward to seeing back on the field in 2018?
Well, two quarterbacks, you got to go there right away because, as Mark said, Deshaun Watson, they averaged 30 points with him. They averaged 13 without him. You look at Aaron Rodgers, the Packers win three games all year without him. But to me, David Johnson, and I think the renewed emphasis on the running game in Arizona, he's a great talent. Again, if he was playing in another city, I think, you know, he'd be certainly a much bigger star than he is already. But I think David Johnson is one of those backs that can do it all and is going to be key to Arizona playing well during the stretch.
That's a lot of positivity, so I'm going to offer a kind of negative. I would personally be worried about J.J. Watt. I'd like to know your thoughts on J.J. Watt, not just one season of injuries, but two, three seasons of serious injuries now. And I hope this is not the case. Do you think we've seen the best of this three-time Defensive Player of the Year?
Sadly, I think it is. Right. I think it's a fair question that this guy has had too many injuries, and he played at such a high level that even without the injuries, it's unlikely that he would keep playing at age 29 the way he did at 26. But, yeah, I think he played five games last year before the injury and didn't register a single sack. Mm. When he's healthy and in his prime, you don't have a five-game segment like that where he's not producing. So my worry is that he would be just like an above-average starter and not a superstar.
He'd struggle with that, wouldn't he, Jeff, because he plays with such intensity. I mean, it's hard when it happens and you fight through those injuries.
Yeah, and you know what? This is one of the toughest things is to watch a guy that was so dynamic, and I mean really, really amazing player. The relentlessness, the motor that he played with. Time takes everybody. You know, Father Time is undefeated, and you know, everybody loves football, but football doesn't love anybody. And this is one of those cases where I think, you know, the injuries and the age, you know, he'll start to slow down. I still think he's going to be a solid player, but you know, again, it happens to everybody.
I wonder because Bill O'Brien has said a couple times, this is the J.J. Watt of old. He looks like he did physically. Right. And it's like, do we believe Bill O'Brien or do we just need to see it with our own eyes? Mm. But I also wonder if it's the kind of thing where he needs to get back to a healthy season and then the next year might be back to old form. But to Jeff's, that's the age. You're not getting any younger if you're J.J. Watt either.
Has it been a thing that's been discussed a lot in the U.S.?
J.J. Watt?
Yeah, and that kind of...
I think so, because I think that you look at that defense and it hinges, and Houston's playoff chances probably hinge also on what version of J.J. Watt you get.
We see this year, of course, so many old faces in new places. We talked last week about John Gruden, so it's the same with coaches, with players. Unprecedented quarterback movement in this offseason. With everything with Khalil Mack and Aaron Donald, it seems a long time ago that Alex Smith got traded to the Washington Redskins.
I forgot
that even happened.
Exactly, yeah. But who has the best chance of success, a kind of old face in a new place in 2018?
You know what? Let's go away from the superstars a little bit. Are we talking quarterbacks?
No, you can take
you know
it any
what
way
I like? The Ravens receiving duo of Michael Crabtree and John Brown.
Right. Not headline, but better than what they've had, isn't it?
It's a huge upgrade from what they had. And the John Brown that we saw in August looked like the John Brown of 2015, not the guy who's been injured the last couple of years. And Michael Crabtree is a chain mover and a red zone threat, exactly what Joe Flacco has needed there. So I really like those additions.
Larry Fitzgerald loved John Brown in Arizona. He just couldn't stay healthy for you.
You know, I don't know if this is going to be a great story overall for Tyrod Taylor because he's got Baker Mayfield behind him and that could end at any moment.
Yep.
But I like the setup because he didn't just go to some team with nothing around him. If he stayed in Buffalo, I think he'd be in an offense where it's not going to be a good season for Tyrod Taylor. If Josh Gordon stays healthy, if Jarvis Landry can do what they think he can do, you know, David Njoku at tight end. And now, it always feels like a pipe dream when you're talking about the Browns, but they finally do seem like they have some talent. And he's the guy that doesn't turn the ball over. That's the one thing he does well. And the Browns lost so many games last year in the fourth quarter.
Oh, yeah, all those turnovers.
In the red zone.
In the red zone. And if you can reverse some of that, you can have a chance. It's a rough schedule. You have a chance to have a positive impact. And any quarterback that does that in Cleveland won't buy a drink in that town for the next 20 years. Yeah. So,
you know. Tyrod Taylor got out of Buffalo just in time, didn't he? Because they lost three starting offensive linemen. Josh Allen was getting beaten up in the preseason, their rookie first rounder. Jeff, for you, an old face in a new place?
Well, to me, it's got to be your guy, Kirk Cousins, because you're talking about a guy that's going, a 4,000-yard passer that's going to a 13-3 football team that's loaded on defense. They got all, they got Pro Bowlers at every level, defensive lineman, linebacker, every level of that defense is outstanding. And then, you know, you've got Diggs, you know, you got Thielen, Rudolph at tight end. The question with them is going to be the offensive line. If they can protect him, this is a guy, like I said, Neil, 4,000-yard passer without a great bunch of players around him in Washington. So I think he's the one that obviously has the most pressure on him, but I think he's also the one that can be the thing that takes his team to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, he's surely got to have pressure on him. Three-year contract, all fully guaranteed, $84 million. At the time, he was the highest paid player in NFL history. That's gone up and up over the weeks. But this is a team that got to the NFC Championship game without Kirk Cousins. So, Mark, naturally, that pressure that Jeff talks about is going to have to be
there because, in Case Keenum, you know, no one expect this, had a statistically superb season. So you're asking Kirk Cousins, if you're a Vikings fan, to do that or surpass that, but you're in a division that has Aaron Rodgers back. That Packers team's completely different. And the NFC just feels like so top-heavy with these Super Bowl-ready teams, and the schedules for all of them will be so brutal that the Vikings, it's not that everything went right for them last year because they lost Dalvin and Cook. They lost a bunch of quarterbacks and had to get through that. But you're asking everything to go right this year to get back to the NFC Championship without a lot of hassle.
Is that the conference that's the clear strength of the NFL, the NFC over the AFC?
Well, I think the Packers are an annual contender. So you have them. The Vikings are loaded. They feel like they're going to have a special season there. And then the guys that are doormats usually, the Bears are so much better than they were last year. The Lions feel like they're being ignored. And they feel like they've fixed a lot of what's been wrong with their offense, with the offensive line and the running game. So I do feel like that's probably the strongest. You know, the NFC South is pretty strong with those three playoff teams last year.
Who's the team that goes 2-14 in the NFC?
Right.
Doesn't look like everyone wants to say Tampa, but Tampa's a different team than they were last year on defense. So,
Jeff, just 20 seconds left, but it feels like a wide open race to the Super Bowl across the league this year.
I think it's going to be a fantastic year in the league. And, you know, I don't see, and I agree with Mark, I don't see those teams, even the Browns. I'm going to tell you something, and I know he's a Browns fan, and so I'm not playing to him. I'm just saying I think this Browns team has every reason to believe that they can win 6 to 8 games this year.
All right. Well, thanks to Jeff Reinbold, Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling. Great to have you guys with us on Sunday as well. We look forward to seeing you on Sky Sports. Let's just remind ourselves what we've got coming up in the coming days, starting 12:30 on Thursday night into Friday morning. It all gets going week one of the NFL season. The Atlanta Falcons at the Philadelphia Eagles. Then a busy Sunday and Monday. We're on air at 5:00 on Sunday night. San Francisco at Minnesota, Dallas at Carolina, and then the oldest rivalry in the NFL, Chicago at Green Bay. Monday night football is a doubleheader into Tuesday morning. The New York Jets at the Detroit Lions, followed by the Los Angeles Rams at the Oakland Raiders. And Inside the Huddle will be back next Wednesday and every Wednesday through the season. So make sure you join us. Thanks, fellas. Look forward to seeing you on Sunday, and we will see you in the studio on Sunday. Enjoy opening night.
Sky Sports. Feel it all.